What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 15th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. All right, it's Towers weekend, so if you're in New York City, I am around for Friday and Saturday with a lot of Towers stuff. My draft is at Iroquois Hotel at 10 a.m. on Sunday. If you're in town and you just want to watch a live auction draft, a lot of very smart people, I know they're doing some fun things with Tout Wars too. So actually go check that out on Twitter, Tout Wars Twitter, also Todd Zola you can talk to. But I'll be there for that, and there's going to be just a lot of stuff kind of just around New York City. So if you're really curious to meet up with us, we're going to be hanging around the city, I know today and tomorrow, and it'll be fun to see some of you. I actually remember going back to, 2017 or so, 2016, I wasn't in Tout Wars. But I just kind of showed up and observed it, and it was super, super fun. That's when I threw BP to Tristan Cockcroft and company in the Staten Island Yankee minor league park, which was amazing. All right, anyway, we're going to talk about yesterday's games, and of course, we have so many fun ones. We have, of course, the spring breakout stuff. We have also, I do want to note that I have a video coming out to socials and YouTube later today that during the stream, I went through the opening schedule. I talked about it yesterday on the podcast, but I have it as a video now, actually articulating it a little bit better, a little bit more condensed. So if you missed that one yesterday, me going through each team, it's a really, really helpful thing. So you really should be focused on that. I'm starting to realize that my late round flyers should be dictated by who we expect them to face the first week, because if they're not getting a good matchup, you really shouldn't be adding them and drafting them in your 12 teamers. That means you're just going to have them stashed for 10 days at the minimum. And that's not fun. You don't want to do that. You're going to want to swap them out for something else at the very least. Or then just get a hitter and get those extra at bats. And then you grab whatever flyer that sticks out because you read the SP roundup every day. Okay, cool. Mets and Cardinals, you have Jose Buda going 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. Velocity is up to 95-96 on the four-seamer, 94-95 on the sinker. But just 1 whiff on 33 fastballs in total. The changeup is good, 33% swing strike rate. And he finds his way into the rotation at some point. He's currently blocked by Tyler McGill, we believe, right now. And then he might be a decent streamer against a bad offense. But really, there isn't enough in those four-seamers and sinkers for me to really get excited. It's really the changeup that can be good. Maybe he's a good enough command guy, but yeah, it's just a streaming option. Lance Lynn, 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. I had to remind myself again that his four-seamer isn't really a four-seamer. It's more like a cutter, and his cutter acts more like his slider. And that's kind of why he does what he does. But it's just kind of who he is. You know, it's not that amazing, and you're going to be very disappointed with Lance Lynn this year. Michael Wacha looks normal, and he had a 52% CSW. So, I can't say anything. 52% CSW changeup, 3.2 innings of 0 runs, so all is good there. Tommy Henry, we don't like, and he didn't do well. Bryce Jarvis looked interesting, 3.1 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He has terrible four-seamer shape, but he did do the Blake Snell blueprint really well. Four-seamers were up, sliders were down, changeups were, for the most part, down. Sliders also an improved one, coming at 2 ticks harder, and last year, Bryce Jarvis struggled because his slider had a sub 50% strike rate, but these were really good. But yeah, no, the four-seamer is really bad. I think if the command is good enough and the slider is good enough, then maybe there is something here, but you might see Jarvis show up at some point. Tommy Henry isn't very good. Slay Sassoni is the other option. Really has SP6 considerations. You have Christian Mena at some point, who might show up, but like there really isn't much, so you might see Bryce Jarvis at some point. And at least you know who he is now. Josh Winkowski, speaking of depth, is like the SP7 or 8 or whatever. 3.2 innings of 5 earned runs, so we don't really care. And Ranger Suarez, 3.2 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. There's the new out percentage article out on the site. Taylor Tarter ran with that. It was a fun conversation. You guys have likely heard me throughout the last year or two talk about out percentage and pitches per out. And really this interesting way of framing pitchers as efficiency of getting outs. I think the best pitchers in baseball are the ones that are able to get outs as fast as anyone. I think we'd all say that if you went 27 up, 27 down without a single strikeout, but you did it in 50 pitches or so, and if you did that consistently, you'd be the best pitcher in baseball without a single strikeout, right? So there's obviously value in getting outs, and it was a good exploration of seeing, hey, do pitchers have certain pitches that are just consistent out producers? And you can then identify who's a good Toby based on that. So it's a really fun article. You should check it out. And it's just another fun way to understand how these pitchers are major leaguers. And Ranger Suarez does that with his sinker and his curveball. That's really cool. I don't think that this was the start to say like, oh man, Ranger Suarez is going to have that amazing Vargas run he has all the time. But it was fine. It's 4 walks and 5 Ks and 0 runs and 3.2 innings. Okay, good stuff, Ranger Suarez. We have some StatCast games that didn't have TV. Bowden Francis was one. 6 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 2 strikeouts. The four seam was down to 93, which isn't great. It has good shape of being flat and good IVB and good extension, that kind of stuff. But coming in 93 is a little annoying. I want 95, 96. I would still be in consideration of Bowden Francis. However, if he is the SP5 for the Jays, which it does look like he is at the moment, then he's going to get the Astros in his first start of the year. I do not want to do that. And then the one after that is the Yankees. And I don't want to do that. So, no. I'm out on Bowden Francis. I'm sorry. It's just, that isn't the kind of guy I'm going for, right? This is the whole narrative I'm trying to push right now. I have different PSAs at different points. Right now, it's about, hey, guys, when it comes to 12-teamers, make sure those late dart throws are not just ones that stick on your team for 2 weeks without you actually wanting to start them. Wes Parsons also went 3 innings, 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. You probably don't know who he is. He only threw like 1 inning last year, even though he was a thing before 2020. So Wes Parsons is an extension guy with a flat release, and he was up to 96 in this. So he doesn't command it really well. It was like middle or down on the four seamer. Wasn't really up. And he only went 3 for 10 strikes on the slider. There were some more competitive ones, but 30% strike rate isn't good. There is some intrigue here. I think Eno was saying that his stuff plus was really good, which makes sense because of extension, flat release, 96. I get that. I think that stuff plus doesn't favor flat VAA as much as I do. But regardless, Wes Parsons does have good stuff. It's about command at this point. It's about opportunity. We haven't seen him a ton, but there might be something there with Wes Parsons later this year. So that's at least intriguing and something to focus on. At least be aware of if, say, Bowden Francis doesn't do well or they need more help and they're like, okay, Mitch White or Wes Parsons, or is Alec Manoah going to be healthy enough? They might go to something like that. Bailey Ober, 2.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He was down to 92 as opposed to 93, but it's still better than the 91 from last year. So that's good. I want to see him at 93, though. That'll be nice. He did not get his 4 seamers up as we normally do, or normally see from Bailey Ober. It's why he's Bailey Ober Rizzi, after all. And his changeup was much more in the zone, too. So not a good start for Bailey Ober. Glad he got through it. I'm glad he still had his cutter and slider located really well arm side. Don't want to read into this in the slightest. 61 pitches, he's all good. We're cool. Marcus Stroman, 4.1 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's now at 90 miles per hour as he's down about 1 to 2 ticks in the sinker. His splitter and his breaking ball were like 2 to 3 ticks, maybe up to 4. A little weird. He is more command and movement focused than it is velocity, but always helps. So I'm not going to say that Stroman is going to be terrible or something like that all of a sudden. All I'm going to say is that Stroman, you better be a little bit better next time. That's all. That's it. I mean, he should be a solid play for the Yankees just because it's the Yankees. He's going to go 6 innings. He generally isn't a major home run guy. Like, it should be fine. He's a Toby. And you'll get some wins, especially out of the gate, I think. But that's not good. And please just be a little bit better next time. Casey Mize, man, I hope you start. 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. It's a flat arm angle. It's a lot of extension. It's good IVB. It's 96 on the fastball. Like, this is a really good 4-seamer. And I want to get more data on it, but so far so good. Slider that looks like it can earn whiffs and get strikes. The splitter isn't quite there. There was rumblings that it looked like his old splitter but when he was drafted, but 0-for-6 whiffs, 2 strikes. But if it's 4-seamer slider like this with, honestly, Mize has good command. That's amazing. I want this, except he's SP6 right now. The Tigers as a whole have a pretty good opening schedule of a 3-game series against the White Sox, 3 against the Mets, and 3 against Oakland. So Matt Manning, for example, if he's SP3, gets the White Sox in Oakland to start, which is ridiculous. There's also Reese Olson, who will get the Mets and sadly miss the Athletics. But it's just so fun. And I just wish Mize was a part of it. And it feels like he won't be, but who knows? Who knows? Pay attention to Casey Mize in the next 2 weeks. He might be the guy that you pick up all of a sudden before the season starts when it gets announced that he's in there or something. I don't know. Just be aware of Mize. And last two here we have is Grayson Rodriguez, 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. I'm spooked. And I have been so flip-floppy on Grayson Rodriguez this entire offseason, and I'm sure you guys are upset with me about it, and I totally get it. Like, seriously, I'm upset with myself about it because I can't make a decision. I, on one hand, see the arsenal of Grayson throwing 98 with lots of extension, and then this changeup and slider that, as long as he keeps down, should be really good with it. He's adding a sinker that should help, and all of this stuff. Like, it's there. He has a really good situation in Baltimore, and that pretty much was a tiebreaker that said, go for it, Nick, because you have a solid defense. You have Baltimore. You have this great offense, the morale. It's also a sophomore year, and generally guys get better their second year. And the one thing that keeps nagging at me is that I haven't seen Grayson Rodriguez have legit command. And it's bothering me. I'm not seeing this start of, hey, I put my four-seamer where I want, and I don't have these mistakes where I tug it too far. I'm trying to go away, and all of a sudden it's inside. Or, yes, I can put my slider where I want to get this guy out constantly. Or my changeup is always going down there or something like that, right? A lot of these guys, you see that, and you go, oh, man, this is just unbeatable because he's just going to execute the thing, and then you're done. I don't get that from Grayson Rodriguez. And it's frustrating. But so decide how you want. I know you want me to tell you what to do, but I am not a prophet. I'm not in the business of being right. I'm in the business of good discussion. I tell that to the entire staff. That's how we act as Pitcher List. I hope this is a good discussion for you. My gut is saying don't have him in the top 15, Nick, that there's going to be some volatility throughout the year. And my heart and my love for the game just wants him to do it right, and that my FOMO says that, oh man, Grayson Rodriguez is going to have such a fun year and I want it all on my team. So whatever. I find that Grayson Rodriguez is often in that contention for my SP2. That is, like, let's say I get Reagans or I get Tarek Skubal or whoever it is as my first, and like with Bobby Miller in there too, kind of. And Grayson Rodriguez is like in that Musgrove Eflin tier. So do with that which as you will. Okay, Marco Gonzalez was on the other side of it. 5 innings of 100 run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Yeah, he flipped some cutters and curves in there. And he had some surprise heaters and whatnot, and changeup was reasonably down, but it wasn't like pristine or anything. It's Marco Gonzalez. He's a Vargas rule at best, and you're debating if he's a streamer most of the time. So, not really my thing. All right, we have other games to talk about, the ones that had no StatCast data, and we're going to talk about all of that after this break. We have Cade Povich and Paul Skenes going in the spring breakout. It was a really fun thing. Paul Skenes looked incredible. An inning, 0 in runs. The thing is, though, it's an inning, and Skenes was airing it out. So he threw like 101, 102. And I imagine that when he actually stretches out in the minors, he's going to be closer to like 97, 98. He's legit. I understand. I really do. And when, you know, we can say all the things we want about pitch shape and all that kind of stuff, he's legit. Okay. He's the number 2 pitching prospect in my view. It's number 1 of Jackson Jobe, and Skenes is number 2. He's the best guy that I've seen outside of Jobe. So keep that in mind. I don't know when he's going to come up. I imagine he'd come up by the end of May. I don't think it's going to be April. I think Jones is first, and the Pirates really shouldn't be pushing him too far. They're going to likely take a little bit slow this year. So might as well just keep it slow in the minors for April and a lot of May, and then start stretching him out in May, and then have him actually ready to go by the end of May. If you want to stash him, by all means. I don't think you should, because I think you're going to find something else on the wire in April and May that is going to be very productive. And for Skenes to be worthwhile, he needs to be at least 33% better than that, because you're missing 2 months of production, in my view, of whatever the waiver wire is. And that's a tall order. Like, Skenes shows up, he's not a top 15 starter to me. I mean, he's probably like top 40, but like, top 30-ish, he's hinting it, but I mean, there's going to be the Shag rug too. He's not going to always be amazing, I'm sure. So keep that in mind. Cade Povich was there too for the representing the Orioles. Three innings, one earned run, two hits, two walks, and four Ks. He's more of a, I mean, my understanding, I didn't really get to see a ton of it, but his fastball should be good upstairs. He missed down low a little bit. He wasn't really overwhelming. That said, Cade Povich is someone you should absolutely be aware of. And I got kind of like Max Fried vibes a little bit, which is kind of cool. Julian Aguilar, three innings, one earned run, four hits, one walk, two Ks. Unfortunately, they had like the bird's eye view from like the press box. So I got nothing to tell you there. Same with Rhett Lauder, which is really annoying because it's Rhett Lauder. And I've been waiting to get like a good camera angle and data, and I'm still waiting for it. So one day. Zach Littell versus Chris Sale was very interesting. With Sale, six Ks, 3.1 innings, two runs. Like, he's good. You're getting bankable production for as long as he's healthy. So just get that in your draft. Like, look at your draft. And I try and think about this a lot when making draft picks. I say, did I get someone that is, I know, helping my team more than what I can get after the draft? And sometimes I do that with closers. I say, yeah, I could get this outfielder, but I might feel like in a couple of weeks, I don't really like him. And why go for that when I can get a closer I know that I'm going to be happy I have throughout the entire year, right? That's kind of how I treat starting pitchers too a lot. And I see Chris Sale and I go, I get Chris Sale, I'm a better team. And that's great right now. And bank whatever value you can. So Chris Sale, I am all for getting in your drafts. And Zach Littell, you can't necessarily bank because his first two starts later would be Toronto and Coors. He did do really well though. Five innings, zero runs, one hit, zero walks, and six strikeouts. But I'm just, I don't know. Zach Littell doesn't really profile out to be as like this great arm. The Rays, sure, I know they have their magic, but he does not have Rasmussen's skills set or Jeffrey Springs or whatever. Zach Littell has a four-seamer that doesn't really have the best shape, but he's decent at getting it upstairs. And that means his slide, which is really a cutter, lives in the zone underneath it. He doesn't always do that. And then he has a splitter, which of course isn't the most consistent pitch. It's used mostly as a put-away offering. That slider, which is a cutter, is a super low put-away offering. That is not its put-away rate, but he only uses it about 14% of the time in two strike counts, which is like first percentile for sliders, which, again, more like a cutter. So is Zach Littell's four-seamer elite? No, it isn't. He did get some whiffs against Acuna and Riley, but I just think it's not really this elite offering, and that has me saying, well, there's nothing that's elite here with Zach Littell. So are we saying that the command is elite? It can be at times. He's an interesting streamer to me. That's really it. Not someone I'm going to be targeting in my 12 teamers, especially facing the Jays, who I don't want to start him for. And then it's Coors after. So I just take a step back and say, no, thank you there with Zach Littell. JP Sears is very interesting. Five innings, two earned runs, five hits, zero walks, and three Ks. Now he's the opening day starter for the Athletics. If they haven't announced that yet, they should. It needs to be Sears. And he's going against the Guardians. JP Sears' fastball looks so good right now. And the last start that had StatCast data was upstairs, good velocity, good all the stuff. I'm here for that. And then you have the sweeper, which when it's elevated, it actually worked. Like, it was elevated against Cody Bellinger, but lefty-lefty, it just kept going out of the zone and was nasty. And we love the PLV on it, super amount of break on it. So it's kind of interesting to me with JP Sears. Like, if he has good enough command with the secondaries, the four-seamer is kind of there, and he gets the Guardians to start the year. I'm kind of intrigued of taking JP Sears' last pick. I just stream him the first game, take a chance, make it happen, pop the cork, finger snapping, and if I don't like it, I just move on. I just drop him before Sunday, you know? I drop him right after that one. And if that game looks really good for JP Sears, well, then he would get the Red Sox and then Detroit. That's kind of cool, right? So that's not so bad. I should preface this. It might not be Detroit. He would be the second guy to go for the Red Sox, and then he would go for the next series. Regardless, I'm curious how he looks in that first game. I can get value there for the Guardians, and the Red Sox would be on the road, not in Fenway. So, and Tristan Costas is worse against lefties. Just saying, there's something possibly there with JP Sears, and don't forget it. Oh, and by the way, Shota Imanaga was on the other side, and he's dope and makes you feel dope. 4.1 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 strikeouts, sorry, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. He is second right now in all of spring training in strikeouts. With 19 in just 9.2 innings, with Spencer Strider ahead of him by 3 strikeouts in 4.1 more innings. Think about that. That's pretty cool. Shota Imanaga is looking really good. Now, this was against the Athletics, and they're not very good against fastballs, and his fastball's good and all that stuff, but yeah, you should get Shota Imanaga in all your leagues, and I would be surprised if his ADP at like 200 is going to stick there, because that's just stupid. It should be like 120, something like that. Tyler Anderson for the Angels against the White Sox. 3.2 innings, 3 runs, yada, yada, yada. You know Tyler Anderson, don't draft him. The White Sox were kind of interesting. I'll end with those guys because John Gray, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. I don't think he really deserves your attention because it's really just a really good slider. And the four-seamer, I guess at 96, gets by. The thing is, he does get the Cubs at opening weekend. There might be some value there. I prefer Sears, absolutely. But then he would get the Astros after. So if you really are looking for something that opening weekend to get value, there might be something there with John Gray stealing a win, maybe getting some strikeouts. I can't really tell you that he's going to do well on the ratio front. At least he doesn't walk, guys. But Soroka and Garrett Crochet pitched, and Soroka's looking good. 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 5 walks. Bad camera angle. Annoying, but he is throwing sliders down and into lefties. And that's not really a thing that we've seen before. Use that as a strikeout offering, and it worked. Soroka's a command guy. And he's not necessarily throwing hard. He's not throwing like 94, 95. It doesn't look like that. It looks like more like 91, 92. But there might be a sneaky Toby in here, especially for your deep leagues. So I'm taking a look at this and considering this as an option as he gets the Tigers to start the year, likely as the SP2. Thing is, I take that back. If he's the SP2 and Eric Fede is opening day, Eric Fede gets the Tigers and then Atlanta. But Soroka would get the Tigers and then Kansas City in Kansas City. There might be some really sneaky value for that first week and a half as a two-star pitcher for Michael Soroka. Just throwing it out there. Garrett Crochet, if he's the SP3, would get the same situation as Soroka. But if he's SP4, he gets Atlanta. You don't want that. So I'm intrigued by Garrett Crochet. Really, really monitor where he's going in that rotation now. If it's Chris Flexen as the third one, that's really annoying. I don't really want to stream him. I'd much rather would stream Soroka. And you don't want to start Crochet against Atlanta. Maybe if he is the SP4, then he would get the end of that Royals start. But that would be a week and a half away from opening day. That would essentially be like Sunday. But you don't want to do that. Don't do that. Don't draft a guy to just wait 10 days until that game, right? But Garrett Crochet, I mean, it's fastball slider. The fastball can look really good at times. And the slider is a pitch that can be all right. Like, it's two pitches. It could be exciting. It's kind of like your Kopech from the left side is the vibe I'm getting, which isn't quite enough for me to chase. It feels like a Spice Girl cherry bomb kind of thing. And I'm more or less out on Crochet until I get some good data and some good video. But I want to see a third pitch that actually is good too. Maybe there's a changeup in there or something like that. All right, that is it for today. Looking forward to this Tout Wars weekend. And of course, we still have some spots open for PL Pro Lifetime. Consider supporting What Do We Do. The projects I'm working on are absurdly fun. And I can't thank you guys enough for all the support you've been giving, really. It means so much to me that you guys are supporting this because of your support, we are able to do a lot of the things that we want to do faster. So it's a really cool situation that by getting PL Pro, by supporting us, you are actually getting more of the things that you want faster. It's going directly to it. You guys know this. I do not take a full-time salary, and I don't know when I will. So I'm making sure that everything that we raise is going into the site and going towards those things to get those products out for you. So consider getting PL Pro Lifetime. It's the best way to support us. And also you will benefit from it. I guarantee you, over time. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.